This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. 4 years ago, an 8-year-old boy died by suicide after suffering bullying at Carson Elementary. And now the Cincinnati Board of Education is paying $3 million after reaching a settlement with the family of Gabriel Taye. News of this little boy's death reached national audiences and focused attention on preventing bullying. And now, as part of the legal settlement, Cincinnati Public Schools will adopt new anti-bullying measures. Joining Cincinnati Edition to talk about the case and its broader implications are Taye family attorney Al Gerhardstein. Al, welcome back to our program.
I'm glad to be here, Michael.
We also have with us Loyola University of Chicago School of Law Anti-Bullying Program Director Julie Pouch. Julie, thank you for being with us as well.
Thanks for having me.
If you're listening and have questions or comments, feel free to join us at 513-419-7100 or email your questions, comments, and thoughts to talk at wvxu.org. Al, I'm looking at this well-publicized photo of 8-year-old Gabriel Taye, and he's got a tie on and his little vest. He's smiling so big, and it's just so heartbreaking to think about what he must have been going through at the hands of his young peers. Would you tell our listeners about this little boy, what he was like, who he was?
Well, he was a beautiful child, and he was very joyful, and he loved school. That's why he got dressed up. He thought this was a special thing to go to school, and he wanted to be at school. He didn't hide from school, and he wanted to learn. And he loved his mom, Cornelia. He loved his dad, Benyam, and they had a good and solid relationship. Unfortunately, he was the victim of bullying over the span of his time at Carson from first grade through third grade. And this was what dragged him down. And it was very, very tragic.
There has been a legal battle for years now. A settlement finally confirmed just this week. How is the family doing, if you can tell us, Al?
Well, this has been very traumatic. You know, Gabriel was Cornelia's only child, and she has had a very rough time. She has turned her grief toward helping other children. She started a foundation. Benyam will do something very similar. And she's also instructed the legal team, which included Jennifer Branch until she became a judge, and Carla Leader and Michelle Young. She directed all of us that this case can't end without doing something to protect future children. Because if we tried it, all you get's money. And money's not going to bring Gabe back or protect another kid. And that's why we insisted on the non-economic terms and the reforms.
We're going to talk a little bit later on about some of those, what you called non-economic terms, particularly as it relates to anti-bullying efforts within the school district. But just to give a clearer picture of what this young boy was going through, this wasn't third grade name calling, which is, of course, unacceptable, but unfortunately expected to some degree. This boy dealt with consistent violence against him. What was it that your team, Al, saw as liabilities on behalf of the district after what Gabe Taye went through?
There was actual physical violence against Gabriel, and there was one child in particular that repeatedly bullied and physically attacked Gabriel. And of course, on January 24th, 2017, Gabriel was in the boys' bathroom, and he was pulled into the wall and was unconscious on the floor for 7 minutes. The school protocol called for the administrators and the nurse to call 911 if any child's unconscious for more than a minute. That did not happen. And then when Cornelia was talking to the nurse, she was never told that her son had been unconscious for this length of time. When he started throwing up at that night, she took him to Children's Hospital but didn't have the history. And so he was evaluated as having stomach flu. And our experts later determined that he probably had a concussion, which can and has been linked to erratic behavior, including suicide. So the next day he stayed home. The day after that, he goes back to school. Another incident in the bathroom where his water bottle is stolen and somebody tries to flush it down the toilet. That night, he hung himself from his bunk bed.
It's so hard to picture that.
It's hard to picture it, indeed. And think about Cornelia, who discovered him. And her 911 call is chilling. And her effort to save her son with CPR, she is an LPN, was just so awful and traumatic and harrowing. It's just terrible.
Let's bring in Julie Pouch. She is the director of Loyola University Chicago School of Law's anti-bullying program. Julie, we're talking about an 8-year-old child here who died by suicide after dealing with so many months of vicious, violent bullying. Is that unusual for kids so young to be dealing with that level of bullying?
It's not unusual. I mean, it's unusual, like compared to maybe high school, but it happens a lot, more than we'd think. And younger kids aren't always reporting it just because they haven't received that type of education yet or that instruction it's happening like less frequently, and it just kind of starts to pick up at that age. It is traumatizing for years to come. I mean, even for kids that are being bullied, they are more at risk as adults for suicide and for depression. So it's important even for little guys to say, you know, to treat it seriously and, stand up and pay attention for the school staff.
What type of efforts exist at that educational level? What's an effective way to guide young people about, one, just not bullying, but reporting it when they see it or experience it?
I mean, there's lots of efforts, and I think it really does depend on the culture of the school and the school environment of what's going to work. And so that's why it's really important for school districts to really understand what's happening and what their student body will respond to. But you know, it's teaching kindness and empathy and teaching about different people and differences between each other and how to be an advocate for another person. These are difficult concepts to teach, but it's necessary, and we can start at very young ages, and it's being built more and more into educational programs. But I think it's something that obviously deserves a greater focus.
I understand, Julie, that you arrived at Loyola just last year, but I'm wondering whether this local case here in Cincinnati of Gabriel Taye was on your organization's radar as one to pay attention to.
It was, actually. I told Al that I had signed it to our law students to read as part of our segment on bullying for one of our courses. And, I think they all had the same reaction in reading about the facts and the situation, what happened to Gabe, is chilling and just so sad. And they were, saw kind of the issue that the Sixth Circuit saw as well, which is, that being the allegations of that the district misrepresented what had happened, and that, that allegations that these had kind of these incidents of bullying have been ignored over the years, that that is enough for a parent to get into court. And so I think, it was something that was on our radar, and we were watching the case. So
that is Julie Pouch, who is the director of Loyola University Chicago School of Law's anti-bullying program. We're also joined by attorney Al Gerhardstein, who represented the family of 8-year-old Gabriel Taye, who died by suicide in 2017 after suffering at the hands of young bullies at Carson Elementary School in West Price Hill. Al, as we talk about the role that the kids played in this, I'd like to expand upon it and talk about the role that the adults played as well. I know that you referenced, I guess, a failure of protocols and not calling 911 when they should have after Gabe was found unconscious at one point. There's a series of incidents. Could you outline the failures within this school and the district in handling these repeated acts of violence against this boy?
So the district, as they explain it, is balancing a number of things. Number one, everybody is tuned in to the school to prison pipeline. Nobody wants to be so oppressive in the school environment that children fail to nurture and fail to learn and fail to view school as a positive environment. So what we were experiencing was Gabe would be bullied. There'd be a behavior log created, but the behavior log wouldn't track the names of all the relevant children. And that would cause the pattern to be missed. And the explanation we got was that, well, you know, the FERPA, the law that requires everything to be confidential, that behavior log could get out there in the public. We don't want to have bad reputations created. None of it did we find satisfactory, because, of course, you have to, if you're going to define bullying as they do, as more than one incident, you got to track the actual acts of aggression in order to root out the violence. And you can't rely just on complaints, especially as Julie just mentioned, children could be frightened or children could be not brave enough to file a complaint or not even know how to do it. So while the board has improved its complaint process, this case identified the failure to track the patterns in their acts of aggression. And this settlement was a real effort to fix that.
An attorney representing Cincinnati Public Schools said in a statement, as reported by WVXU's Corey Sharber, quote, "Resolution of this difficult matter is in the best interest of all parties. The defendants, the schools, strongly believe that neither CPS, its employees, nor the school nurse were responsible for the tragic death of Gabriel Taye. CPS embraces the goal of eliminating bullying within schools, as well as continuing to refine and improve reporting, management, and training processes related to incidents of bullying." We've got time to take a call now at 513-419-7100. John is on the line. Hi, John. What is your question or comment?
Hi, Mark. Two things. First, a comment. I want to thank Attorney Gerhard Stein for not just his work in this case, but everything he's done for the city over his long career. This question that I have is whether there was any disciplinary action taken against any of the employees of this school who were so clearly, despite the statement that you just read, that denied culpability, whether they were held responsible in any way.
John, thank you for the call, and we will address that momentarily. Al, I'll give you an opportunity to answer John's question about disciplinary action within the school district, as well as expanding upon the non-economic part of the settlement agreement between the schools and the Taye family. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. The Cincinnati Board of Education reached a $3 million settlement with the family of an 8-year-old boy who died by suicide after suffering at the hands of bullies at a local elementary school. We continue now with Gabriel Taye's family's attorney, Al Gerhard Stein, and Loyola University of Chicago School of Law Anti-Bullying Program Director, Julie Pouch. Al, we just had a call from John who wanted to know about disciplinary action within the school district related, I guess, to staff and students who were involved in this case. Can you tell us anything about that?
There was no discipline. And while that may shock some people, that's not unusual in cases like this. And all I can tell you is that that is the role of a civil rights case. When we dig in, when we take our depositions and we get our evidence all lined up, that would be admissible were we to try the case, the fact that they were not held accountable. And that's what we were trying to do with the civil lawsuit. So it's not good news, but it's all part of the broader system of trying to make the district more accountable for bullying, and hopefully we're doing that with this settlement.
Well, let's talk about that. You mentioned that it was important to Gabriel Taye's mother that there be more than money involved here, that there be direct action to prevent anything like this from happening to another child here. Let's talk about some of these terms. What were the important items to you all as you negotiated the settlement?
Well, both mom and dad wanted these non-economic terms, and what was important was that the school districts start tracking the repeat offenders, the repeat victims, and the repeat locations so that we can see the patterns and intervene. Secondly, that the intervention be done in a positive way using restorative justice principles rather than just punitive. Thirdly, that there be active engagement with the school nurse on all of these programs to end bullying, and that everybody get routinely trained so that these reforms really take root. But, you know, one of the most touching things that Carla Leader and Michelle Young and I witnessed as we worked with the parents was the negotiation around the friendship bench that will memorialize Gabriel and the Carson Elementary playground. The parents were very involved in the inscription that'll be on it, which says, "I will always stand up to bullying. I will always be kind and respectful. I will always be a friend to others. I will always look out for those in need." Those words and Gabriel's picture will be on that bench. And mom and dad and the school system all agree that that's an appropriate way to honor Gabriel in addition to these other non-economic terms.
We've got about 90 seconds left here, and I want to go back to Julie Pouch, director of Loyola University, Chicago School of Law's anti-bullying program. Based on what you've learned about this case, Julie, and the settlement reached, what do you think school districts across the country can learn from this response, if anything?
I mean, I think they can learn to start tracking, as Al had pointed out, as an element of the settlement, but that's important to preventing incidents of bullying in the school, to be transparent about their efforts to prevent bullying and stand up and say something. That's one of the pieces of the settlement as well, is to, you know, report it and to record it if you witness a bullying incident. And that's not always done with fidelity in many school districts. And I hope that they, you know, see that the, you know, being in the spotlight you know, having to pay a settlement and making these changes, that they're going to, you know, they're going to deliver. And I hope that the school districts across the nation see this settlement as a call to action.
Again, there is a memorial bench planned as part of this settlement in honor of 8-year-old Gabriel Taye. And as Al just read, that inscription will read, "I will always stand up to bullies. I will always be kind and respectful. I will always be a friend to others. I will always look out for those in need." Al Gerhardstein is the attorney for the Taye family, and Julie Pouch is the director of Loyola University's Chicago School of Law's anti-bullying program. Al, Julie, thank you so much for the time you gave us today.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.